MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Wednesday, February 14, 2024. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber, supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Bohr, and today's headlines: the Salem City Council will soon be addressing homeless encampments in the city. City of Gloucester is developing a digital equity plan, and there may soon be a new hotel in Swampscott.
I'm Bill Newell. It's a sure sign of spring. Pitchers and catchers reporting today. Rick?
All right, Bill, thanks. Not feeling much like spring. Sunny, windy, low 30s today. High tide, Gloucester Harbor, 2:39 p.m. An ambulance transporting a patient yesterday on Route 95 in Peabody avoided a crash with a car that rolled over and came across the median. The incident happened at 1 p.m. yesterday during the storm. According to WCVB-TV, due to the alert response by Cataldo ambulance paramedic Tim Crosby, who was driving the ambulance, he was able to respond to avoid a collision by the oncoming car. The issue of homelessness will be back before the Salem City Council. Dustin Luca reports in today's Salem News that the City Council's Committee on Public Health, Safety, and the Environment will be meeting soon to discuss the issues of homeless encampments throughout the city. Ward 1 City Councilor Cynthia Gerzilo says, "It's our responsibility to ensure their safety and health." The City of Gloucester is working on establishing a digital equity plan. Ethan Foreman of the Gloucester Times writes today that the plan will be a collaboration with the city and the Sawyer Free Library. The plan is being developed with assistance from the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, as Gloucester aims to overcome obstacles with digital equity. Those obstacles include broadband connections, device access, and device literacy. Newburyport Mayor Sean Reardon is preparing for his second State of the City address to be held at City Hall on February 28. Jim Sullivan of the Daily News reports today that Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll will be on hand for the event. The address is expected to focus on projects and development in the city of Newburyport. In Swampscott, the Select Board has voted unanimously to designate Clearview Investment Management, Inc. as the developer of the Hadley School Hotel project. Benjamin Pierce reports in today's Daily Item that the original plan calls for 58 guest rooms, 83 parking spaces, and a multifunctional rooftop space with three suites, a dining bar, and an event space. Sports next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics beat the Nets in New Jersey last night, 118-110. Jason Tatum with 41 points and 14 boards. The Bruins' mediocre play continued last night in their 3-2 loss to the Lightning in a shootout loss. Brad Marchand, though, marked his 1,000th game as a Bruin.
Yeah, that's special. I know how fortunate I am to be part of this organization and one organization your whole career, well, at least up to this point. That's part of what I love so much about being here is how much the fans care, how much they embrace the team. It truly is special, and it flies by, and you really have to enjoy every day and make the most of every moment. You don't know when it's going to be last, I can't believe how fast it's already gone, and it's something you want to make last forever, but we all got a shelf life, to look back on it and see some of those memories is, it's very special. You don't get to remember every day, but this is one I'll remember forever.
Bruin Brad Marchand. Pitchers and catchers are in Fort Myers for the Red Sox spring training day one. Here is baseball insider Andy Carboni.
Yes, believe it or not, today is the day. Spring has arrived, unofficially, at least up in our neck of the woods. But pitchers and catchers have their first workout today in Fort Myers at JetBlue Park. Everyone get excited. You'll obviously see all kinds of coverage of this on the local news throughout the day. So this is a big day as we get closer and closer to opening day, but has to start somewhere. It all starts today.
Thanks, Andy. Yesterday, all kinds of postponements in high school basketball. However, today it all resumes. A lot of makeup hoop games and some high school hockey. Gloucester takes on Danvers today in boys hockey at the Talbot Rink at 5:30. So some ups and downs this year for the Fisherman hockey team. Gloucester coach Derek Geary, though, is focusing on all the positive things.
You know, I think it's all positive. The glass is half full. I think that the great thing about hockey, the great thing about sports is that you've always got another shift, you've always got another chance, and we're sitting in a good position going into the tournament, and I think that having gone through some adversity and learned some things along the way and strengthened our identity, I think that we can come out the other side stronger for it.
Then you have the Saugus Peabody boys hockey team, just four seniors on this team. They've had some big wins lately. Tonight they take on Swampscott at 7:30 over at Salem State. Like Coach Geary a moment ago, Peabody Saugus coach Jason Marshall sees the glass half full with his team.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have kind of great, both leadership, but great skill kind of up and down the ice with all of our classes. We have a few freshmen that have been getting some pretty regular playing time. Our red line is Artie O'Leary, a freshman from Saugus, and then another one of our forwards, Dimitri Breton, has been getting in there as well, and both of them have really become more and more comfortable with kind of the pace of the varsity game. They both have a very high hockey sense and hockey IQ. And they've really been kind of taking on big strides this year. So, as well as just our strong sophomore class carrying over from last year as well. So, yeah, we have a lot of kind of bright spots for our future, which is always good to see.
Peabody Saugus boys hockey coach Jason Marshall. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore. The area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Wednesday, everybody. This is MSONewsSports.com.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, and really happy now to be talking with Nicole Bloor, co-founder of Save Newbury Wildlife in, oddly enough, Newbury. Nicole, welcome to MSO.
Thank you. Thanks, Rick. I really appreciate having the opportunity to talk with you today.
Well, I came across an article in the Newburyport Daily News recently about a program that was referring to Save Newbury Wildlife. And it's fascinating to me because we have had this year an infestation of field mice in our home. And we couldn't get rid of them, and so we got an exterminator and took care of the mouse problem. But one morning out on my back patio, was a perfectly robust-looking squirrel dead. And it led me to think that maybe that squirrel had somehow eaten a mouse that had the poison. And I buried the squirrel as deeply as I could because I was afraid, you know, carrion birds might get it. But tell me a little bit about what your program is and how you got started and that kind of thing.
So Save Newbury Wildlife is an organization that's dedicated to restricting the use of what we call second-generation anticoagulant rodenticides. I know that's a mouthful. These are poisons designed to control the rat and mouse population. They're second generation because the first generation rat poisons, the rats and mice became resistant to them in the 1980s.
Oh, wow.
So they came up with these second generation poisons. And there's also some evidence now that they're becoming resistant to the second generation, of course. Natural evolution, rats and mice breed very quickly, so you can imagine that they can develop resistance pretty quickly, genetically. So these poisons are very potent, and the challenge is the unintended side effect of using them. And I am not about, I understand that people need to control rat and mouse infestations. I do. And we need to help people figure out how to do that without using these potent poisons. For those of us who are old enough to remember, way back when in the 70s, the big mantra was the solution to pollution is dilution. I don't know if you remember that, Rick.
No.
The thing that they used to say, I don't know if it was Dow Chemical, I don't remember who said it, but said that. And unfortunately, the problem is biologic systems. So you and me, animals, we don't dilute poison when we intake it. We concentrate it. We don't know what to do with it half the time. So mercury is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Fish will ingest mercury, and they just store it in their tissue. They can't get rid of it. There's nothing they can do. So the bigger fish just keep getting more and more mercury in their system. And unfortunately, the same thing happens with these blood thinners, these anticoagulant rodenticides. So if a mouse eats the bait, which they're very commonly used, you can see them everywhere, these bait boxes that are outside buildings, especially restaurants, but everywhere, they're these black boxes. The mouse goes in, eats the bait, they leave, and within 3 days to 2 weeks, they die. It may take only one dose, but it takes some time for them to die, which is somewhat of a good thing if it's inside your house, because you don't want them to die in your house, right? You want them to leave your house and go find water, because what happens is they start bleeding and they get thirsty. They go look for water. Unfortunately, they're easy prey for every raptor, every owl, every eagle, every fox, every coyote, every cat out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it may be that one mouse with these poisons inside their system is not a problem for an owl or an eagle, but unfortunately, they eat many mice and rodents all day long. You know, an owl family can eat like 1,500 rodents a year or more.
Mm-hmm.
It's a large number. And unfortunately, what we found is, so for example, the veterinary clinic at Tufts University in Massachusetts found that 100% of hawks have these blood thinners in their tissues. 100% now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about 5 years ago, it was about 80%, 70%, and now we're up to 100%. So it's clear, and they'll have multiple different types of poisons, not just one.
Mm.
So they're very much being exposed, and although it may not kill them right away, it builds up over time. And the raptors in particular will have difficulty flying, and that may be why they ended up at the Tufts clinic, is because maybe they, fell into a car because they weren't flying properly. There were some very public deaths of eagles in Arlington. And so a few years ago, Save Arlington Wildlife was started by Laura Kiesel, and she managed to get a policy passed in her town last year and in 2022, to ban the use of these very potent poisons on public land. Now, the law in Massachusetts, as in many states, is the town cannot regulate what you do on private property with pesticides, and rodenticides are in that category.
Mm-hmm.
The state is the only one that can regulate that. So what they did was they passed a referendum asking for a waiver from the state. Can Marlington, control its own pesticides on its land? And so in that vein, that's what we're trying to do as well here in Newbury. We've been very fortunate. We've already had some good success. We presented to the select board our concerns about the use of these poisons and their effect on non-target wildlife. What we really want is for the town to help our residents and businesses manage them without using these poisons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else can we do? And then ideally we'd like to move forward and work on the state doing the same thing. We were fortunate the Newbury Select Board agreed to go ahead and ban these poisons from public lands. Now, Newbury doesn't have a lot of public lands, but I think it's raising awareness. I mean, we're going to make people aware that these poisons are real. I assure you, I never really thought about it. I'm a retired physician. I certainly know that pesticides and poisons in general are not good for anyone to ingest. And I was very much aware of pesticides. I used to be a beekeeper, and I'm very much aware of how bad, you know, aerial spraying for mosquitoes is, so on, for bees, and just using pesticides on your flowers. But it wasn't until recently that we kind of came to the idea of rodenticides being such a terrible effect on our foxes and our coyotes and our raptors. And it was my neighbors who actually started the ball rolling, Kathy Downey and Carolyn Casey. They were walking around the Newbury Public Library and noticed the rodenticide boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Said to themselves, what are these? And so they found out, you know, they called, read a letter to the Board of Health, what are in these boxes, and, you know, what are they for? And so that's how we got the ball rolling, talking to the Board of Health, talking to the Select Board, and we're hoping to make it raise awareness. If we can just get a few people to stop using these poisons, I think it could go a long way to helping our wildlife.
I think one thing that people have become aware of is if they end up getting a pet themselves, if you get a cat or a dog, you become acutely aware of what these poisons can do. I didn't know they were called the second generation, the SJGAR. But you become aware, you know, that, okay, your own personal little cuddly animal could get hurt by this. And so there is an awareness of this. And I know on your website, you have some great ideas, on how to better deal with this thing. And I just wondered that, for us, we love going out in the morning and having coffee on the patio, and just about every weather we've got a little heater out there, you know, a gas-fed stove. And we love looking at the birds. I love, you know, the woodpeckers and all these other birds. But almost universally, the recommendation is to do away with these bird feeders. Is that correct?
Yes. If you have trouble with mice or rats inside your house or around your home, yes. Bird feeders have got to go. You can exclude them. By that, I mean you can actually build exclusion around the bird feeder if you really wanted to keep it. You could also have bird feeders that don't have a lot of waste on the ground. You could sweep up the bird seed at the end of the day. You could take them in at night. There are things you can do.
Okay.
But quite frankly, for most of us, it's probably just a bit too much work. You're better off just growing plants, trees and bushes that have lots of berries.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. Habitat that the birds will come to naturally, you know, like winter berries, for example, or aster. I have the juncos on my aster. I didn't clean them up at the end of the summer, and the seed pods are still all out there. And I have lots of juncos and finches that are on those plants.
Oh, okay.
So you can encourage wildlife to come to your yard just by growing the right plants. But yes, the first thing we would say to you is if you're feeding animals outside, birds, cats, dogs, stop.
Okay.
If you stop feeding them, they'll go away, or at least they won't breed as much.
Right.
Right? That's, I think, the key. And then the other piece of it is you really have to stop them coming into your house. You have to exclude them, we call it. So you have to plug up all the gaps.
Yeah.
And that's not easy. It does take time and energy and maybe a little bit of money, but it's better than just trying to poison them, because you have to poison them forever. You know, it's a sort of a no-win game. We're never going to get rid of the rats and mice. And you don't want to. They do feed the population of wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to the point about the pets, there are dozens of cases every year in Massachusetts of mostly dogs being poisoned by rodenticides because they eat the bait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's...
And it is not always reversible. The rodenticides that I'm talking about, these blood thinners, they give vitamin K. And it works, but not always 100% of the time. And then there's another one called bromethalin, which is a neurotoxin. So it affects the nerve system. There is no antidote to that. That you can buy over the counter. And, so if your dog were to get into that, it's very likely it would be fatal.
How delicate a balance our ecosystem is. It's just amazing. One of the things I noticed that I found fascinating was, on the website, there's a way to invite owls to nest in your neighborhood or in your yard, and they sort of take care of the population.
Absolutely. If you can install some owl boxes, a screech owl box, for example, you will be much better off. I have a neighbor who has an alpaca farm, and he said the best thing that happened to him was he had a weasel move into his barn, and the weasel took care of all the rats and mice in the barn. Right. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that in your house, but if you had a barn, and it could encourage a little weasel to come along, could be very helpful. Yeah, you want to encourage those predators. We have rat foxes that frequently come through our yard. I'm always happy to see the mom and her kits because I know that means they're going to keep the rodent population down dramatically.
That's fascinating stuff. All right, a couple more things. Tell me about, on the website, you have upcoming events and things like that. So what is the next step in the process of educating us about this?
Yeah, so our next meeting is in March, and I'm going to look at my calendar, but our next step, actually, is we're writing a warrant article for the town meeting, where we're basically going to request that the state consider banning or restricting the use of these second-generation anticoagulant rodenticides throughout the Commonwealth. And so we're going to be voting that on April 30th at town meeting in Newbury, so I encourage everyone to come to that. In March, our next meeting is March 23rd at the Newbury Library. It's at 11 o'clock, and we're going to be talking about integrated pest management. In other words, how to manage rodents around your property in your house without using rat poison.
Okay, and a lot of that information is on the website. I will link to the website as well. Nicole, is there anything else you'd like to mention?
No, thank you very much for your time, Rick.
Well, I appreciate it, and it's great to learn about this stuff. The more, I think the more we can do, what little we can do for our planet, we sort of have to do.
I agree.
All right. Thank you very much, Nicole. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. That is Nicole Bloor, who is the co-founder of Save Newbury Wildlife. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.